You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Committed to standing out from the crowd? Jump into your next Mini at Berwick Mini Garage.
The Run Home with Andy and Gazy.
We were hungry. You know what I mean? We were hungry to get to the highest level and, you know, the scrutiny that we were used to. And, you know, if the coach said to you, your parents, that you were no good at training, mate, you got clobbered. These days, if the coach says to your parents that they were no good, they'll say, yeah, but he's loading, he's got school, and don't be too harsh on him. You know, you've got to be careful. Social media's out there. So Gazy's laughing in the background here, so you know it's true.
100%. I'm dealing with it in this different sports. It's the way it is compared to what we had to go through. It's a different way in which you're allowed to teach and coach, which, and, you know, for a lot of it's good, but there are, you know, there's some that you look at it and go, well, I'm not sure we're preparing them to deal with the competitive environments that we had to deal with.
They've got the technology much better than what we had. They've got the facilities much better than what we had. They've got everything much better than what we had. But you know what? They don't have what we had when we were growing up. The desire inside, the burning desire to work harder than the other person. Mate, they don't want competition anymore. Everyone wants it on a silver platter. Now you need to work to get to the highest level.
Oh, it was so interesting at the end of last night's show when we spoke to Zeljko Kalats. As we say, g'day and welcome to the show this Thursday afternoon. Keefe alongside. You were giggling in the background.
I was.
He was. We didn't have any time to discuss it at the end of the show, obviously, but I'm very, very keen to have a chat about it today. It all resonated with, or not all of it, but a bit of that resonated with you, what Zeljko Kalats was saying.
A lot of it resonated. I don't necessarily totally agree that they don't want it as much. They want it as much. It's just that they sometimes think that it comes a little bit easier than it perhaps should. So that they're wanting an easy way to get to the destination that they're trying to get to.
What is that? 1-300-736-736. Have our kids gone soft? Has our coaching of our kids gone soft? Has it gone too far? Have we got the balance right? Everybody's got an experience about all of this.
In fairness, I don't think a lot of people would know unless you're engaged in it. Because, and even if you're a parent, and I don't know what it's like in all sports, but you're not necessarily seeing every session and seeing all the feedback, and you're not always getting all the information. Now, sometimes you do.
Yep.
But by and large, my take from compared to – now, it's a long, long time ago when I was coming through. We're talking 45 years ago. So it's a long, long time. But I can't remember my parents being and watching me play all that often. They drop you off. They go to the Venture. Remember Ventures? My mum used to drop me off and go to Ventures and then come back, and I'd often be waiting there for her to pick me up.
Or someone to give you a lift home.
There weren't a lot of parents actually watching it. And the way in which you can, the tone in which you can use to talk to players is highly scrutinized. And a lot of that is for good because there have been examples of just absolute abuse, which is unacceptable and inappropriate and unhealthy for all concerned. But there are times when you can provide direct feedback, not like, you're an idiot, you're soft, pathetic, you're pute, none of that.
Yep.
I'm just talking about, hey, when you make this, do this, you are letting yourself down, you're letting the team down, you need to do it like this, this, and this.
Yep.
Now, unless you say it in a specific way, then you're going to be fronted up to a tribunal and you're going to be questioned for the way in which you're communicating.
Seriously.
So you've got to be so conscious. Absolutely. That you can't even, a lot of the times these days, you've got to be careful about saying no. No, you don't necessarily say no. You've got to say, well, can you try doing it this way?
Have you thought about
this and all those? And in a, in an elite sporting environment, that might be okay at a lower level, but in an elite sporting environment where, particularly during games, where feedback needs to be quick and it needs to have a response.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
I think that sometimes applying those methods can be difficult.
And I can imagine, Ian, I'd love to hear from you, if you've got actual on-the-ground observations of this, you know, that we've got the balance between hard, direct, driven feedback, which is about trying to get the best out of the performer.
But see, people, it's hard because you need to clarify what that is. Because right now, by just me and you saying this, they'll think we're going back to the old school.
No, clearly
and they'll say you can't use that language. And of course, there are so many things that were grossly inappropriate. That's not how it is. But there are times when you can be very direct, which I would look at it and make a judgment and say, I get that. That's no problems. But many parents, no.
Okay.
I don't want my child to be subjected to that level of direct feedback.
Direct? Do they consider that to be abusive?
Hurtful. Not abusive.
Hurtful. Okay.
Hurtful.
Can you remember
emotionally upsetting?
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of things.
Do you remember as a kid ever being emotionally upset, you do?
Of course I do.
By the way you were responded to by coaches?
100%.
Well, my under-12 reduced coach, to tears and all that sort of stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
My under-12, now, some of it was wrong. I'm not saying it was all right, but I think back on the way in which it got me to change my behaviour. There's got to be a better way. I'm not saying that, but you've got to. I remember in timeouts, and we used to look at each other, and the coach used to just give us a little tug on the hair. Hey, you listening?
Yeah.
You listening?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So you couldn't get away with that now?
No, you joking?
Not a tug of the hair to hurt.
No,
but I need you to concentrate. I need you to look at me.
That's right.
No, you can't do that.
No,
right. So that is gone.
Absolutely, and probably rightfully so.
Yeah, okay, right. Yep. So
you can't do that. But even, hey, you need to run back quicker. Get back. No. Now, Jackie. When you're running back, it'll be helpful if you could just go a little bit faster because if you can't do that, you can't just say, hey, you're too slow, run back. You can't. Andy, I'm telling you, you have got no idea of what I have seen and feedback that I have seen from coaches that if I had my chance, I want my kids to be coached by this particular
coach. So you'd be
happy
with, okay, right.
I actually wanted it.
Yep.
Now that coach is no longer coaching.
So you're talking about an actual coach. Okay, righto, yep.
He's no longer coaching because of the type of feedback, which to me was nothing. Was more than reasonable, but it's how the individual interprets it and trying to cater for what's going to be appropriate when you've got 15 athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
How some, yes, you say that and they run quicker. Yes, coach, and I'm glad you told me. I really appreciate that. I didn't know. To others, they get upset.
Okay, so is that part of the art of coaching, though?
Mm.
Understanding who the individuals are within your team and speaking to them in a way when you're doing the one-on-one stuff, not the team-based stuff, when you are dealing with them one-on-one within the team environment, to know how to use the language for that individual person to get the best out of them. So that they contribute to the team.
That's right.
That's part of the
teach them.
That's part of the craft, right?
It's about teaching them how to play.
It's a fascinating subject. There's already a heap of people are on the line. We want to have a chat to you about it. Atreides, our race gutters, Australia-made, built to last. It is hole in one Thursday, Keefe. So you're going to give away $100, $150 voucher to Golf Box by the end of the day. Australia's. In fact, you can give it away whenever you like. Give it away. If you get moved by a temper text.
Oh, well, I want to give everyone a chance.
I know
though,
you do, but if something, park it. Don't lose it.
Okay. I have my team out the back.
No, you need to take some responsibility.
I will as well, but I like a collegiate approach here.
Golf Box is Australia's greatest golf superstore. Best brands, biggest range. Shop at golfbox.com.au today. Mm. Okay, so Zeljko Kalajic. You know, we get clobbered. They're soft. There's a dynamic that occurs within international football and to a degree, I imagine, international sports like basketball that maybe don't necessarily apply in other sport, domestic sports, because of international factors and all of that. But they were it was a really interesting observation. And when it from Zelko's, if I may speak on his behalf, he wasn't saying it to be overly aggressive or
no.
He was just saying it. This is what maybe it takes to produce an athlete who is going to be able to cut it.
Yep.
When you get to when you start getting closer to the pointy end, you need to have a certain desperation and hard edge about you to compete. And if you haven't got it because it hasn't been developed at a younger age, it doesn't matter how good you are. You're not going to be able to compete.
Well, it's.
I think there was a bit of that in what he was saying.
I think there's a lot of that in what he was saying. But of course, you really do need to clarify the method because we've come a long way.
Of course.
And some of the stuff was grossly inappropriate and unacceptable.
And 99% of people playing team sport now, boys and girls, are never going to be elite.
No.
So,
that's right.
So let's keep them in the game.
Of course.
Let's not scare them out of the game because of
course, but
overtly aggressive.
But isn't part of the whole thing about challenging yourself, being challenged to get better? That's part of the fun.
No
that's
doubt.
That's part of the enjoyment.
But you would know this. I know we've got to get to go. You would know this. There are, I'm coaching an under-14 team at the Felt at Darabont. I can tell already half of the kids in my squad, they're just there because they love being
social.
They love being part of it. And I've got 6 or 7 girls in my team who I think that I can look at them now and I go,
they won't be footballs.
In 10 years, they'll still be playing in 10 years.
Yes.
When they're grown-ups, they'll still be playing. So there's a bit of that, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Mick's in Airport West. Mick, good afternoon, mate. Zelko Kalatz. It was really interesting observational stuff from him last night. Have we got the balance of all of this right?
100%. I think basically what he was trying to say that the kids of today haven't got the kuyanzas, because I don't want to say it on air, to fight and train really hard to get to where they want to be. They think it's going to be, like you said, handed to them. And then they don't want to do the work. All they're looking at is the dollar signs, and they think that's going to get it. Eric Hunda is going to go to Bayern Munich, but he's probably going to play for the thirds, right? They had guys like Zelko Kalatz, they had guys like Frank Farina, who was the pioneer of it going overseas, who worked bloody hard. You saw it when you watched an NSL game. They worked hard to get to a higher level. They wanted to do the work, and they got picked because they did that work, and they were successful at it. So the youngsters of today, mate, they have no idea what it takes to get to the big level, Matt.
Not all of them, but in general.
It's easy to generalise here in these subjects when we have these conversations. It's more about the way coaches drive their young players and whether the way it was done once upon a time, which did produce, you know, high-quality international athletes.
Yeah, which we still do.
Because we've got to remember, we're talking to Zelko about the fact that, you know, these days around international leagues around the world in soccer, there aren't a lot of Australians out there these days. Men, I should say, women going beautifully. Men, we don't have a lot of blokes at the moment playing in
the top tiers
around the world. So, and that's where Zelko was coming from. Daniel's in South Caulfield. Give us your thoughts on what's always a hot potato topic, Daniel.
G'day, guys. I coach under 18 boys basketball, and I've coached for a few seasons. We had another coach in our club who was an older gentleman from an Eastern European background who was old school. You know, when we were growing up, exactly what you guys were talking about earlier. And the kids of today, and his basketball knowledge is impeccable and way beyond mine. Far better coach, far better tactically, but old school. And the kids just didn't like it. And so I think it's a reflection on the greater parenting and society in general with kids of that age who have trouble taking criticism. That's one thing. They don't know, even though you might say it in a particular way, but if you're criticizing them, you know, that they get They get their back up. They just can't accept it. Andy, you were talking before about, you know, you need to pull some hair or whatever in a gentle sort of way. These days, it's even against the law to touch them.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, we've got to fill out working with children's check and police checks and all this sort of stuff. And you go through training because you're not allowed to touch them. You're not allowed to talk to them a particular way. So I think it's a reflection on society in general and parenting of these days. And the kids would much rather come and play for me because I'm more, you know, soft and cuddly, yes, rather than the older generation who was a bit harsher, but certainly a better coach than me, because, you know, I'm a friendlier sort of guy.
No, it's a really interesting observation, Daniel. Thanks for your call, mate. There's a lot of people who want to join in here, so we'll try and get through as many as we possibly can. Tradies out for Ace Gutters Australian Made Built to Last. Pete's in Ballarat. What did you make of Zeljko Kalatz's observations at the end of last night's show, Peter?
Oh, I actually didn't hear them, Andy, but I've just been listening to you for the last 20 minutes or so, and it's the few things that concern me, Andy, is in the athletics, all kids get a competed ribbon.
Mm.
How does that drive kids that might be good? At the same time, my daughter's a teacher at a primary school in Roval, Catholic school, so that'll narrow it down far enough. And the sports teacher there's a pretty aggressive sort of guy where the kids tell my daughter they don't like doing sport because Mr. So-and-so is too hard and he's just yelling at him. And the kids, you can tell, Gazy, kids, the cream rises to the top in primary school sport.
Mm.
The good ones will come out and it's got to be enjoyable for them. However, I coached back in the 80s in North Ringwood, an under-10 team. My theory was to make it fun. I remember one day I gave them a spray in a nice way, saying, come on, kids, we're better than this.
Mm.
And they all lifted, and I had one overweight Italian boy, didn't know football from a cricket ball, and he was one of my best players in the year because he had a ball, he loved it.
Yeah.
He had fun. I'm an old pro runner, Andy, when it's stall and all that. And if my coach, we trained at Proclamation Park in Ringwood,
We're losing you, Pete. We were hanging on to the line, but we get the gist. Well, I think we get the app, and I think that concept of making it fun, up to a certain, like at a young age in particular, I think it's really important because you're going to lose a lot of them if you don't.
Of course, but I don't like to me when I was there, even in those really formative years, you embrace someone telling you when you've done something wrong. Because
you want to know
that you're going to be able to make the correction and hopefully get better.
Yeah.
But honestly, Andy, if you saw it and heard it and seen some of the examples that I have seen where they're saying this is appropriate and worthy of suspension.
Yeah, that's, okay.
You go, what?
Yeah, I guess that's where Zeljko's coming at and where we've got to try and together find the right balance because – of all the obvious reasons. We're here for Berwick BMW, offering convenient servicing for your BMW, the next day availability and multiple transportation options, and also be best on ground around your yard and farm with your local Brandt John Deere dealer. 26 past three, great to have you with us. Tradies out for Ace Gutters Australia Made Built to Last. Zeljko Kalatz, fantastic interview with him last night. Love the chat. Had some observations about the way that our kids are being coached these days to get them ready to be the very best they can be at an elite level of his sport. And
well, that's the key, Andy, because you're talking about a guy at the real pointy end.
100.
This is not recreational or social sport. This is players that are striving to become professionals.
Correct. So,
there is a difference.
There is no doubt there is a difference. But there is something in there about how hard we coach our kids these days and the language that gets used and the tactics that are employed and have we got the balance right? And Zeljko's point was that at the end of the day, we're producing kids who've got all the talent in the world, they've got all the facilities, but comparatively speaking, we're churning out guys who are a bit soft. Mm-hmm. That was his language. And wondering whether you can see at an early age observations of whether that might be right. I personally don't, but others may have very different opinions. So, keen to get your thoughts.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. This is many years ago, and I was at the elite junior level, say under 16 level, And at the end of the season, we're going through it, and I was explaining to the kids the statistical probabilities of them getting to where they want to get to.
Yeah, which is NBL, NBA.
0.0. Yep. The chances of it happening are really remote. And because of that, you've got to make sure you stay at school, you're doing all these other things, but we're going to try and push you as hard as we possibly can in order to get there. Well, I received a letter to say that that was inappropriate because you're squashing their dreams. It's like you're telling them they're not going to make it, and that is acting, it's demotivating them to want to be involved. Now, no, it wasn't.
Not at all.
Trying to explain that it's about the journey.
Yeah.
Enjoy the journey, but make sure you keep your options open because the statistic says only a very, very, very small few get through. Now, apparently, for one parent, that was not the right. Now, I was saying it in front of the parents. I wasn't trying to hide it. I'm thinking I'm trying to provide a proper message.
Yes.
No, sir.
Okay. That's fascinating. Tom's in Taylor's Lakes. Give us your observations on what's a really, it's a complicated area, Tom. Far away, mate.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I'll come from personal experience where I just think the coaches, and for that, probably educators as well, just can't be as harsh as they used to be. So my example was my old man was my coach in juniors. I kicked 8 in the first half of a game and he dragged me for the rest of the game because I was being too selfish and there was people in better spots and I should have kicked it to him. Now, I love him, but I've never forgiven him. But also, I, in every sport that I've ever played since, have always looked for the person in the better position. So it was a lesson that I learned really harsh on me on the day, or at least I thought it was.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's something that they could do these days. I reckon if you've got a player going nuts in the start of the game and you drag them because they're being too selfish, I just think the backlash would be crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very interesting coaching move. How old were you, Tom? Sorry, did you mention what the age group was at the time?
Under 12s, mate. So okay. I was quite young, quite raw, and it was something that I did actually really need to learn.
Yeah,
that's right.
Running around with the ball and not using my teammates, and all of a sudden, I've had a great game, but I shouldn't be playing if I'm not playing the game the way that I should be playing.
And the thing about it is, your dad might think, you know what, if Tommy keeps doing this, we might win. But as far as the enjoyment of the other players, as far as what ultimately is going to get you through, I want to win, but I need to teach Tom how to play the game.
There are junior clubs out there that I am hearing about already where they invest all of the energy in the best 3 or 4 or 5 players because they're the ones that are going to get them results. And the rest of them, you can pretty much you just do what I tell you to do. But when we can get it to Bugalugs or get it to give it to them, because if we're going to win, the ball has to be their hands. At a young age, that is a bit counterproductive,
of course
I reckon. Rob's in Thomastown. Good afternoon to you, mate.
Hey, Ray. G'day, Gazy. Now, I'm not talking about the elite level like you would have been, Gazy, but simply I think they still want it. My young boys all still want it, but prepared to put the work in. I don't think they work any harder than what we did. I really don't. I think they work as hard or any less hard than what we did. I just think that times have changed. We haven't got angry dads on the boundary line yelling at them anymore. And to get the best out of them, you don't get the best out of a 13-year-old kid by yelling at him.
No.
I reckon... Rob, I reckon they work smarter, not necessarily harder. Because you go too hard and they're coming down on you. Load management, these kids are doing too much. That's too much training. You need to back off.
What age are you talking about?
Under 6 to 14, 16.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
So... And sometimes that might be correct. Go to some of the Eastern European countries, go to some of the Asian countries. They don't subscribe to the load management.
Go to Caitlin Clark's Instagram account and look at the extra reps she does at home with her dad.
Yes.
She never stops. She's got a basketball in her hand the whole time, and her individual drills that she does are something to behold. Let's get to the news. 28-4 Greg, Rob, Steve, very, very keen to hear what you got to say. It's one of those subjects I reckon we should touch in it more often than we do on a radio station like this. So happy to keep taking your calls on the other side of the break. 25 to 4, fascinating subject. Heaps of texts coming through. Hole in one Thursday. Nice. $150 voucher to Golf Box. Shop at golfbox.com.au today. We're all going to be motivated the next 3 or 4 days, those who play golf at any particular level. If you need some new kit, golfbox.com.au is the place to go. Greg's in Strathbogie. I reckon we could talk about this all day, Greg. We'll draw a line under it at some stage. Rhys Stanley's going to join us out of four finding a bit later on as well. Give us your thoughts on this multi-layered conversation.
You two are so awesome. I just love the way you work together. You get the total picture. However, you haven't used a word that's the most important word in this whole discussion.
What's that?
What's that? To be inspired. Inspiration. If you, in the 60s, like I did, and I still lie awake at night when my dad used to be coach of my junior team, and he would grab a jumper, under 15s, grab a boot stud. Does anybody remember a boot stud?
My word.
Break his tooth, lead on the jumper, push that in your face and say, that's what you've got to do to your football club. Now, there are many elite athletes like Ash Barty or like Pat Rafter who are just going along. They found the mentor that inspired them. Nukes and Roche said, would you mind picking up the balls for the Davis Cup? Rafter hadn't won a junior tournament his whole life, got inspired by it, wins to US Open's final at Wimbledon. Ash was a pretty nice little doubles player, but found a person that inspires her. So what the privilege I've had in my lifetime of coaching is that it went from all stick to now all carrot. And I think it's a better world, I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I do totally agree with that.
And I think you and I both agree.
No, I think we do
I
too.
I think the important thing that we're trying to emphasise is that there is a balance in there somewhere, and there are some that maybe the balance has gone too far the other way, where you're not going to extract the inspiration and the
motivation
and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're willing to be a little bit opaque in some of the feedback that you're providing because you're too concerned about the emotions.
Are you too concerned about upsetting or getting on the what's the right word? Yeah, upsetting parents. Getting in. Are you how conscious are you now as a coach of the letter you got, the boundaries you now have to operate within? Because if you even once step on the wrong side of what is an acceptable level of drive being directed towards these players.
Well,
you can face some sort of sanction for that.
I tell you what, it's deteriorated to with a friend of mine that's coaching at the under 18 level.
Okay, so it's getting serious.
It's getting to the more pointy end.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of feedback from one and a bit players, because it wasn't as strong from another, but fairly strong from one, and he completely refutes the assessment of the player. It's now got to a point where he went and has got a clip-on camera and microphone that every time he's coaching, he's going, I have to wear this because what I've had to go through and the explanation I've had to put forward and the way in which my version of events is not believed and their version of events is believed, I'm wearing a camera now. So, okay, if I do something wrong, here it is. This is exactly what happened. Now, that's a sad state of affairs when it gets to that, but that's that one individual, what he currently and I believe currently still does.
Wow. Rob's on the Gold Coast. Give us your thoughts, mate.
How we going, boys? Love the show.
Thank you.
Good on ya.
Good thing that my old coach never had to wear a camera or a microphone because you might be doing 7 to 10. But no, if I can relay back a story from my under 18 year in 1991, and I wasn't exactly playing the hardest football at the time. I was maybe considered an outside type. I was running with a wonderful frosted tipped mullet that may or may not have had a gentle perm through it.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And I received some fairly direct feedback at halftime that was along the lines of I was playing like a ballerina and had a haircut to match.
Yes.
And went on to, from that time, the feedback was very direct. And, yeah, it certainly worked because we went on and, I kicked a couple in the semi and three in the grand final. And I never forgot it because I went in a lot harder after that. But yes. I totally understand why you can't do it these days, though.
So. Yes.
There's this, yeah, so there is the therein lies, I think, the nub of what Zelko's talking about. There's a whole lot of things that we now know types of language you can and can't use. And we're all wiser to that, obviously. But when a team or an individual within the team needs a push or a prod or a provoking to try and get more out of that individual that you know lies within, how can you do that? This is how can you get that? How can you do that without breaching these accepted standards these days that Zelko was talking about last night? We're hearing so many people talk about today. And Gazy, you've given us some stark examples of the reality of the coaching environment already.
Hey, is that Steve? Yeah, Steve, you've won 18 holes.
No, this is Steve now. Steve's in Oak Park. Good afternoon, mate.
Yeah, hello, chaps. Yeah. Good, great show. Now, just a couple of things.
Yes.
It's not rocket science to be a good coach. The main thing to coach kids, you got to encourage them.
Yep.
Encourage them all the time. Doesn't matter how bad they are, how good they are. Everyone's the same. As long as they're out there enjoying themselves, that's all you got to worry about. The other thing I'll give you is a good story. Mm-hmm. I was coach of an under-12 soccer team.
Yep.
One night, the under-12s weren't doing this exercise I gave them. And I've yelled at them, listen, you're doing this exercise like children.
Yes.
The captain came back straight away and says, but we are children.
Hey, Steve, you're a beauty.
Great. I love it.
Hey, Steve, hopefully you play some golf because I'm going to give you the 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart. Get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99, and it's at the beautiful Club Mandalay. You can check it all out at clubmandalay.com.au.
Good on you, mate. The spirit of being involved and the spirit of wanting to be part of a team is that's the encouragement stuff that you're talking about, Steve. I reckon that's at the key of it all, but there's still something else that used to be part of it. And I wonder whether...
Geez, Andy, I tell you, well, we've got some feedback from not so much a sporting environment, but teachers suggesting that it's very, very difficult in the classroom.
I imagine it is. I've got no doubt about that. 18 minutes to four. We'll keep taking your calls after this. Freddie in Caulfield, you're up next, mate.
And you probably don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? That's bloody right.
So the great Ronald Dale Barassi, who had his way of motivating and inspiring. Now, that was at the absolute elite level of the game that he was coaching.
Mm.
But I don't know these days. It'd be interesting to know whether a firebrand like Barassi, who is much more than that, obviously, great tactician, but that sort of stuff, the language he used from time to time.
Mm.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to know how that's at. I was sitting outside. I'm sure Stan won't mind. They got beaten at Waverley one night, St Kilda, and I was covering the game. We were locked outside the rooms because Stan wanted to have a chat to his players. You could hear it through the walls.
Yeah.
You could hear it through the walls, mate.
I think that type of thing. If you're becoming emotional about a specific set or something you've missed, but just being laying in abuse because you've lost, just for the sake of
just getting it out of your own system. Yeah.
That's not going to work.
No place for that.
I don't think so.
Fred's in.
It is against Thornton. It is against Thornton. And he is just so stupid the way that he can play this game at times.
See, that type of feedback needs to be, I think you need to clarify the action rather than just labelling it stupid.
Yes.
You know what I'm
Which
saying?
I'm sure Wolsey nowadays would do that.
Right.
And I hope you're going well, Rob, if you happen to be listening right now. That was A-Rod, by the way, who played that. Fred's in Caulfield. Good afternoon to you, mate.
G'day, boys. I coach full-time these days, soccer.
Okay.
I've got my license. And I'm just coaching kids. And I think the carrot and the stick argument is interesting. I agree, but I think that's a little bit different to specifically what the problem is in Australia. Because, I think generationally you evolve and it's kind of an evolution that they want to be motivated from the positive point of view and the loving point of view rather than fear and, you know, negativity. I think that's more generational, whereas in Australia, I think it's more of a cultural problem. You know, you've got too many first world problems. I mean, for one, I think the best way I can put it is when you're teaching kids soccer in Australia, for me, it's like teaching an Italian AFL, like relative to what you're competing with. It really is. You know, they have instincts are all wrong. You don't have the culture. And you also have the culture when it comes to parenting. They don't have the culture of understanding the game. If they do, they want to be overly involved. But also, it's a hobby, you know, and they're overly protective because it's first world problems. Whereas in an overseas country, you're just happy for your kid to play and be a part of something. And, you know, they might have to get the bus home by themselves. And they have that extra sense of responsibility. I've had a Brazilian, you know, Brazilian boys who are 5'9", who are more mature, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally in the game than, you know, 12-year-olds who are quite good technically, but come from wealthy families and they're very sheltered. So I think that, and there's just a different level of motivation. I know that if I don't make it as a coach, then I can go be a teacher, go be a therapist, whereas overseas, they don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
They can bring their family out of poverty. So it's a different level of motivation, and that's why a third world country like Senegal would destroy the Socceroos.
See, that what you're getting at right there, Fred, I reckon that was at the core of what Zelko was talking about. And he would, I reckon, try and impress that upon kids that are coming through his system, like you did when you just read out the data. Yep. Hey, listen, if you want to get there, just know that it's going to be hard, but you have to work way harder than you think you are you're doing right now, because the numbers don't lie.
And that's the common denominator in all elite performers.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That they work harder.
100%.
So they don't, they're not concerned that, oh, it was Aunt Betty's 65th birthday, so I'm not coming to training tonight.
Yeah.
Well, Aunt Betty's still going to be there in the morning or in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, she might be a bit cruel.
But you know what I'm saying? The point I'm saying is that the level of sacrifice that sometimes needs to be made,
of course,
can sometimes get a bit misguided.
Hey, there's a beautiful Barclay smokehouse coming Fred's way. Kev.
Oh, and we've had them. They are magnificent.
Superb.
And he's won one. It's valued at $80. Barclay smokehouse. If I tell you, if you want ham, like
the grandmother ham is superb.
Smoked.
And the cheese sausages, delicious.
Mm.
Christian's in Frankston. Good afternoon to you, mate.
Boys, how are you?
Good, Christian.
Good.
Yeah, look, I did a pre-season at Central 16s with Slug Jordan.
Oh, yes.
And God rest his soul, if he, you know, spoke these days the way he used to back in the day, you know, he'd probably get locked up. But it got the best out of everyone, and that was the way it was. So, you know, times change, and so do coaching methods. And I coach juniors, and my philosophy was, as the caller said before, have some fun, because the kids are going to be better if they can thrive in that environment.
Yeah.
It'll be hard but fair, but my goal was, and it happened every year, that in my last year of coaching, I had 26 kids. I started with 18 3 years earlier.
That's a good sign.
They're all having fun.
Yep.
They got their mates down, and that was how it was. So my job was done as a junior coach.
It's a great sign, Christian. If you can bring more in than you started with at a junior club, no matter what sport it is, I reckon you're ticking the box.